Take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 24, if you would. We are continuing in our study of the book of Genesis, and we come now to Genesis chapter number 24. And I'm going to go ahead and this is the longest chapter in Genesis, and we won't deal with it all this morning. And I see the smile right off the bat. Everybody's grateful this morning. But we're going to deal with the first part, if you would, and beginning in verse 1. And so I'm going to go ahead and read now, begin. And read down to verse number 28. The Bible says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and to take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. Notice, he shall send his angel before thee, and shall send, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when he had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. Notice the next few words. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now, I think this is a good break for this reason. Notice the next verse. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. So if you know anything about Laban, trouble comes, okay? But we'll break it right there. But I want us to focus in on verse number 27. As the servant observes what the Lord has been doing and has done, he says these words. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Powerful words. I wonder how many of us, as we think about the events during our lives, can say, as the servant said, the Lord led me. The Lord led me. You know, we find many things in this passage, but I believe what stands out to us is this recognition that the servant was in the way that the Lord and that his master wanted him to be in, and as a result, the Lord was able to lead him. It is very important for us to understand that the Lord cannot lead us unless we are in the path of obedience. That's very important. You know, often people say things really foolishly where they say, well, the Lord led me in this direction, and the way they say the Lord led them is in a direct disobedience to the Lord. Can I say the Lord did not lead you into that? And so we're going to find some principles, I believe, in the first part of this chapter that will help us to understand here some truths about being in the way and being led of the Lord. I want us to consider, first of all, as we go right into the passage this morning, the preparation of the way. You see, this way was prepared, and I believe in several ways. Notice if we go to verse number 7, the Bible says, as Abraham speaks to the servant, he says this, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed I will give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Abraham, he spoke in faith, and he simply said this to the servant. As the servant asked a question we'll examine in just a moment, he says, he, the Lord, will send his angel before thee. In other words, the Lord is going to prepare the way. The Lord is going to work those things out. You simply need to obey the instructions. You see, the servant of Abraham was able to declare, I being in the way the Lord led me, because the way was prepared by the Lord Himself. We know the great faith of Abraham in this statement, the Lord will send His angel to go before thee. He believed that the Lord had already prepared the way to provide for a wife for Isaac. And so we see three truths concerning Abraham's faith. I reminded, you remember here, because this is a perfect follow-up from the lesson from last week. If you remember, Abraham said, and by the way, we kind of had to switch it. I was not there last Sunday morning because my son was in the hospital. And so I preached Sunday morning's message Sunday night in Genesis and kind of messed everybody's schedule up. I understand that. But we talked about how Abraham declared himself to be a stranger and a sojourner in the land. He was seeking for a grave for his wife, Sarah. And here we come to, I believe, a perfect illustration of what a stranger and a sojourner is. Of what a pilgrim and a stranger in this world is. And by the way, that is what believers are. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. They're not in this world. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. That's all you are. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, as it was well sung earlier. And so understand that there was a preparation for the way. Consider three truths about the faith of Abraham. First of all, his faith in the Lord separated him. I want you to notice, because the number one request from Abraham to the servant, according to verse 3, is this. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. This was the most important requirement placed upon the search that was to find a woman for Isaac. He says, not a woman from the Canaanites. You see, the Canaanites were a pagan people. And it would be completely inappropriate for them to find a wife for Isaac among a pagan people. And by the way, that is just a biblical truth. 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And when it comes to a marriage relationship, A born-again believer ought not to try to find someone to marry that is part of a heathen people. We ought to find someone that is equally yoked, that believes the same thing, that is a born-again Christian. And so understand here that Abraham, his way was prepared. Why? Because his faith separated him. This was not a shot in the dark. He says, just go find, go anywhere and just find someone for Isaac. No, go find a wife, not among the Canaanites, but among those who are my kindred, a specific people. And so understand that in the same way, our faith separates us from this world. It is not that we are trying to separate ourselves from the world. We are separated from the world because we're following the Lord. You know, often we emphasize the wrong thing in separation. We have the idea that separation is just whatever the world does, that's what we don't do. And our focus is on looking at the world what the world does. No, that's not our focus. Our focus is to follow the Lord. And as we follow the Lord, He separates us. You see, He makes us different because we have a desire to become like Him. And so that is what separates us. You see, separation is not just from the world. It is unto the Lord. And you see, his faith in the Lord separated him. But also, number two, his faith in the Lord established him. The word established means to make firm. In verse number 7, as the servant, in the next few verses, the servant hears his request from Abraham and he has a question, and this is a valid question. He says in verse number 5, he says, but what if I find a woman and she doesn't follow me? In other words, it would be difficult for a woman not to have seen her husband to go ahead and follow the servant, not knowing what the husband looks like or what kind of man he is. And so that's a valid question. And so he asked him, he asks the master, Abraham, and he says, what if she does not follow me? And Abraham replies by speaking of the Lord in verse 7. He says this, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. Notice, this is the promise of God that was given since Genesis chapter number 12. That the promises would extend in Isaac, and later we know in Jacob, but God told specifically to Abraham that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so as Abraham speaks of the truth and the promises of God, he says, certainly, the Lord has someone prepared for Isaac. And it was a specific person. You know, something that is troubling today is that people treat the idea of marriage as if God's choice does not matter. Let me say this. God has a specific person for you to marry. And we must seek the Lord in that. It's almost today, even in the Christian realm, that people have the idea that, well, we seek God's will in every area except this one area. We get to pick this area. No. We must follow the Lord. We must be guided of the Lord. And so he says, as he considers the promises of God, he says to his servant, he, the Lord, shall send his angel before thee. And so understand, his faith established him. And he says, he knows the Lord has prepared a way. God will send His angel to prepare the way. You see, I wonder if the woman would be willing to follow me without having seen your son Isaac. Would I bring him in case the woman refuses to follow me? And the answer is simply no. The Lord would prepare. And so, Abraham's faith is displayed in the fact that he was established. The Lord is going to go before you. So his faith in the Lord separated him, established him. But thirdly, his faith in the Lord silenced him. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, did Abraham go on the search himself? No. Notice verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, and I believe this is Eliezer of Damascus, as we saw earlier in the book of Genesis, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And so understand here that during this whole search, Abraham was not involved. To find a wife for Isaac was an important responsibility. Would we say so? This was not a small matter in the eyes of Abraham. To commit this great responsibility to his eldest servant revealed his faith in the Lord. You see, Abraham would be completely silent on the matter of choosing a particular bride. Now, he gave some parameters with which the servant was supposed to work, but until actual picking the person, he was totally silent. Abraham would not be involved in the choosing. He would not be involved in the examination process of the wife either. You see, this on the part of Abraham revealed his great faith in the Lord and also his great confidence in his eldest servant. The Bible tells us in verse 10, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all that the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor." So think about it here. As we picture Abraham, I believe that Abraham was at peace when his servant left. Do you think so? Based upon what he said? You see, he was not fretting about the situation. I believe he had complete confidence in his servant, but his complete confidence was moreover in the Lord. The Lord would prepare a way. And so understand that as we consider the servant saying, "I, being in the way the Lord led me," understand the preparation of the way. Abraham was ready by faith. His faith separated him, established him, and silenced him. I wonder how often our faith does the same for us. Does your faith separate you? Has your faith established you, made you firm in God and His Word? And has your faith silenced you, where you say, "I can be silent, I have complete confidence in God"? You see, that's what will prepare us to being in the way of the Lord. But I want us to consider, secondly, not only the preparation of the way, but number two, the prayer in the way. If we reach in verse number 10, and the servant leaves and he goes and he follows the instructions of Abraham. He goes to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Now, Nahor was Abraham's brother. If we go back to Genesis chapter number 12, we look at the genealogy there, we find his name. And there's a whole city that's built in his name. Verse 11, "And he made his camels to kneel down with the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray Thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham." I want us to consider several things about the prayer in this way. He prayed a simple prayer, "Send me God speed." He says, "I pray, send me good speed this day." You see, there is an essential element for those who would be led of the Lord. That element is prayer. You see, prayer is the ultimate testimony of our dependence upon the Lord. And when we live our lives and we do not get to the place where we're depending upon the Lord and it's revealed in our prayer life, then we are showing that we are not being led of the Lord because we care very little about His way. We care very little about being led of the Lord. And so consider several things about the prayer of the way. First of all, consider his compliance made him ready for prayer. You know, Abraham did not follow him with a GPS tracker to see where he went. He did not send a drone after him. He did not follow him at a distance. He let him go, and we find that the servant was compliant. He was obedient to the instructions of Abraham. What were Abraham's instructions? Well, verse 4 tells us, "Thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." So the requirement was to Abraham's country and to his kindred, and obviously the city of Nahor would be a kindred to Abraham. Nahor was his brother. And so understand that the instructions were specific. When the servant declared, "I being in the way the Lord led me," it is predicated upon the obedience to the master. You see, because he was obedient, he was able to pray. You see, one cannot rightfully pray when he has not first obeyed. Now we can pray to repent of our disobedience, But we can pray and ask for Godspeed and ask for the blessing of God and the leading of God if we have not been obedient to His instructions. And so understand when the servant says, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. You see, this prayer was involved in that. But first, we see his compliance made him ready for prayer. But number two, we see his concern was revealed in his prayer. Notice his prayer. I find it very interesting because the servant does not say, Lord, would you help me? I certainly deserve as the chief servant in Abraham's house for you to bless me. No, that's not what he says at all. He says, O Lord God of my master, in verse 12, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. He's going to give a specific request to the Lord, but notice at the end of verse 14, he says this, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. You see, the servant was concerned about his master Abraham. And furthermore, he was concerned about the will of the Lord. That was his chief concern. He was not concerned with him succeeding. His concern was for Abraham to see the mercy of the Lord and for the will of God to be done in this important manner. You see, his concern is revealed in his prayer. The servant's desire to be simply, his desire was simply to be in the middle of God's will. God, I want to be in the place where you can show mercy unto your servant Abraham. God's way had been prepared for him. Is that what we are concerned about today as believers? Are we concerned about being in the way and declaring, the Lord led me? Are we concerned chiefly above anything else to do the will of God and for God's will to be done in our lives? You see, his compliance made him ready for prayer. His concern was revealed in his prayer. But thirdly, his confirmation was requested in his prayer. He's going to be very specific. In verse 13, he says, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Now that's a specific request. Very specific. You see, this confirmation request was rooted in the faith of Abraham, who had said to him before, in verse 7, that the angel would go before him. He's not making something up. He's believing that the Lord has already gone before him. He's believing that the Lord has prepared the way. He's believed that God has ordained a specific person to come, and God would reveal that person to him. You see, this was a specific test that was prayed for. This test would both reveal the character of the woman and also God's confirmation would be evident in divine providence. So understand that this test is twofold. First of all, it would be evident of the promises, the providence of God. But number two, her character would also be revealed. Because he said, I'm going to ask her to give me water. And the test is going to see if she is going to voluntarily offer to water all of the camel, 10 of them, without me asking. And if she does that, then I would say that this is the person that you have appointed. Now, let me pause and say this. There are several things that the servant still does not know. He does not know that this woman, first of all, that's going to come, is a kindred of Abraham. So understand that this is not the only parameter. Her passing that test, there are other things that are part of the picture here, and we'll see that in just a moment. And so we see the prayer on the way, but number three, we see the proof of the way. So verse 15 comes, and the Bible says, interesting, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. This reminds me of a verse. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see what that tells us here is that God had already somebody ready. And all that the servant needed to be was in the way God led him. That's it. You see, he was not paving out his own way. He ought simply to be found in the Lord's way. And that's where he was. And so right as he was speaking those words, there comes Rebekah. He did not know this woman, but the Bible tells us it was Rebekah, out to draw water. I want us to consider the presence of Rebekah. It is important to note that God had already prepared Rebekah for Isaac. The servant simply needed to be in the way. She comes, and we see not only her presence, but the picture of Rebekah. The Bible says in verse 16, "And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her." Now, I believe this is important. The servant notices that she's a fair woman. She's a beautiful woman. But understand that that was a plus. That was definitely a positive. But that was not the end. That was not part of the requirement, was it? When Abraham said to go find, he didn't say go find a beautiful woman. That was understood, I think. That you're going to find someone that she's attracted with, but understand that was not the deciding factor. And I'm concerned today that today as people choose mates to marry, that is the only work requirement that they look for. There's someone that looks good, someone that's attractive, and they do not consider that person's character, that person's spirituality, and that is a grave mistake to make. The Bible tells us furthermore that she was a virgin, neither had any man known her. And so understand, she was also a virgin, which speaks of her character and her purity. This, by the way, is still what is acceptable in the sight of God. The modern idea that you must live with someone or be intimate with someone before marriage is a wicked practice in the sight of God. And is to be rejected by the people of God. And so understand, we see her presence, she comes in, we see the picture, she's a beautiful woman, but understand, that is not the deciding factor. He still needs to find out whether she is going to pass the test of character. And he still needs to find out whether she's a kindred of the family of Abraham. So we see the presence of Rebekah, the picture of Rebekah, but thirdly, the performance of Rebekah. Verse 17 tells us, "And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink." That's good so far. "And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well of water and drew for all of his camels." Wow. So that's her performance. Note the intensity with which Rebekah responded. She hastened. She said, "I will draw waters for thy camels also, until they have done drinking." And she hastened, and she ran again, and she drew for his camels. Look all that language. Her diligence, her character is revealed. We must see that she did the complete work. The servant had prayed that the woman would give him drink to the camels. But the Bible makes note that she kept giving them drink until they had done drinking. So she went even further in the test. It would have been enough if she had just given drink to the camels. Oh, well, she fulfilled. No, she gave until they were done drinking. Now, that was not a small task. You see, a camel will drink about 5 gallons of water in one sitting. And the servant had 10. To draw some 50 gallons of water from the well and empty them into the trough in the heat of the climate of that day was a huge undertaking. So understand that would be a great test of the character of Rebekah. So we see her presence, the picture, the performance, but thirdly, we see the pondering. And I think it is interesting because we would say often, like, there it is, that's her! But the Bible tells us, verse 21, "And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. To wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." And we would think, well, wait a minute. Yes, the journey has been made prosperous. She passed the test. You see, we could jump on the situation and say, there it is, God answered that prayer. However, there are still some elements that must be confirmed. Is this woman a kindred of the house of Abraham? You see, often we can pray for things, for tests, and then we could say, ah, look, that test was passed, but yet it still violates a principle that was given. Then it's not the right thing. That was still what the servant was seeking to find out. She may have passed the test, but if she's not from the house of Abraham, then she's not the one. We must be very careful and diligent as we seek to do the will of God, to make sure that we are praying, that we're seeking to be in the way of the Lord, but to never violate a truth and a principle that God has given us. Very important. And I want us to consider, lastly, the provision of the way. So he's going to ask a question to find out. Verse 22 tells us, notice, "And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking," took them a while, "that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands, 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, 'Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?'" Now that's basically a question to find out who her family is. "And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." There it is. Nahor, kindred. "She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord." I want us to consider the provision of the way. First of all, the reward. Now the servant is going to give a reward for this young lady for being diligent and revealing her character and feeding the camels. It was a generous gift to show his appreciation for this young woman. And let me say this, that a man must always be appropriate in his dealing with a woman. This idea today, that the new philosophy today is to put someone down and to make fun of someone, that's not the Bible way. To malign someone and to put someone on, to treat someone as the less than what they're worth, that's not God's way. He gives this young damsel a gift to show his appreciation for her, and then he's going to ask a question to find out what house she's from. And so we see the reward, but also the request is this: whose daughter art thou? Verse 23, what family are you from? And is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Is there a place for us to stay? Now that was a simple request, and we find that the answer is very clear. She's a kindred of Abraham. Her grandfather is Abraham's brother. And so there it is. This is the fulfillment of the instruction. And so, do you see, as the information is being divulged, the servant, now everything is being confirmed. Everything, I've prayed, the test was passed, she is part of the kindred, I am in the way of the Lord. And so understand that after his request, we see his recognition. He doesn't say, yeah, I knew it, I did it. No. The Bible tells us in verse 26, "And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord." You see, when someone is truly in the way and being led of the Lord, there is no other option but to recognize the Lord. There's no other thing to do. It's not like the servant says, well, I have a gift of discernment. Now, that was involved, but no. He had to be obedient to the Lord. The Lord had prepared someone. He simply wanted to discover what God had. And he did. And can you imagine, as that discovery happens at that moment, there's no other thing to do but to worship God. And to say, what a wonderful thing you've done, Lord. You've provided, you've prepared, and there it is. And there comes the rejoicing in verse 27. "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Notice, he's not even referring to himself. He's not saying that I was not left destitute. He says, my master has not been left destitute. Why? Because he's referring back to the promises that God made to Abraham, that in Isaac shall his seed be called, and that God will provide for his son Isaac a wife. And he knew that. And there again, the promise of God is fulfilled. And he simply declares this, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. He simply rejoices in the divine providence of God. God had prepared a way. And as he was in the way of obedience, following the instructions of the Master, following the principles and the guidance and the promises of God, he was able to declare, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." I wonder how many of us can get to the point in our lives where we can say, "Wow, the Lord led me in this." By the way, that place is not a place of pride. It's a place of great humility. To think that the God of heaven would go before us and prepare our way. And to have the opportunity to say that the God of heaven led us. You see, all those principles, I believe that in this case it is a principle concerning finding a bride for Isaac. By the way, that was not the traditional way in which it was done. But for that particular instance, it was God's way. And understand that those principles, I believe, can be used to every area of our lives. To be able to say, as that servant says, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." May the Lord help all of us to be led of the Lord. And when we are led of the Lord, all we have to do at the end is worship God and rejoice in His goodness and what He has done in our lives. Now we're going to look, because next week Laban steps in the picture. Laban is a perfect picture of the flesh who gets in the way of God's way. And so we saw some principles to help us to be in the way, but we're going to see next week what keeps us from continuing or tries to get in the way of being led of the Lord. May the Lord help us.